Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Dr. Andy Hurst.
All right, good morning. Thank y'all for getting us in here, getting us going. If you're watching from at home, it's cold out there. Turn the fireplace on and just enjoy Jesus this morning. So glad that y'all are here. Y'all, there are all kinds of false voices, all kinds of, truths out there and principles out there that are telling you things that are just wacko and crazy. And guess what? Restart. Reset. Let God come and just take all the noise and just turn it off, all right, so that you can hear Him. This morning, we're here this morning. Maybe you came because, oh, that's just what I do on Sundays, I come. But this morning, you came, I believe, you're here to meet with Jesus. Lord God, here and now, come and restart our hearts. Come and reset our lives. Come and put us back on solid foundation of your truth and your grace and your love. Lord, there are so many things being said to us, so many values hurled at us. But Lord, it's your voice, it's your presence that we need. So Lord, this morning, come and have your way with every single person here, all those watching from home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Lord, come. Don't just be God with us long ago. Be God with us today. Be God with us now. Not just God with Mary and Joseph, but God with this house. God with these sons, these daughters. Lord, come. Oh, come. Emmanuel. This morning for our prayer time, we're going to say a prayer together. And I apologize before you go ahead. Next slide, man. I'm sorry. It's so little. I didn't realize it, but it is. So if you can read it, please pray this prayer with me. Let's pray out loud. By the way, this prayer is 900 years old. Okay. Let's pray. Let your goodness, Lord, appear to us, that we, made in your image, conform ourselves to it. In our own strength, we cannot imitate your majesty, power, and wonder, nor is it fitting for us to try. But your mercy reaches from the heavens, through the clouds to the earth below. You have come to us as a small child, but you have brought us the greatest of all gifts, the gift of eternal love. Caress us with your tiny hands. Embrace us with your tiny arms. And pierce our hearts with your soft, sweet cries. Lord, this morning, we ask for you to just come. And now your hands not so tiny, now your arms not so small, but with your powerful, loving, grace-filled hands and arms, God, embrace us. Meet us where we are. God, you know where our stress is, our hurt is, our fears are. You know where our sins are. And Lord, just come. Come and by your grace and by your love, take all that is not of you, take it away from us. And Lord, fill us with your very self. Now, Jesus, we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank y'all. This morning, our Missions Minute is all about flyers, door hangers. And our purpose, we printed thousands of these, is because there are tens and hundreds of thousands of people in Lubbock who need to know the love of Jesus this Christmas. So, y'all feel free to do it the old school, which is just take a street and go do it. Or you can come to IQ 3450 and do one of the streets around Central. Or y'all just go to your neighbors, the four or five neighbors that you know, maybe you've been praying for, you think they need Jesus the most. Or maybe it's somebody this Christmas, a friend or a neighbor who's lost a loved one, and you know they need to be with people who will love them this Christmas. So please just get some of these. There's a ton out on the table, and take as many or as few as you would like. But if we're going to reach this city for Jesus, it starts with a simple invitation. All right? I want to say before we pray too, a couple of graduates we have. I'm looking, Kara's not here this morning, right? James is here in the house. Congratulations. A lot of hard work, and James is going to start on the master's in January. So anyway, thank God for what he's doing in your life. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for this church. This church just gives and gives and gives. And Lord, we do that because we love you. And we do that because we know that when we give, we get to join you in changing this world. So, Lord, guide us and direct us. And, Lord, I ask today, Lord, we wouldn't just give of our pocketbooks, of our finances. God, today, let us give our hearts, give our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all hear and receive the word of the Lord this morning. This is from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw a star in the east, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." Bullcorn. Okay. After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for King Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the middle of the night, and they left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Lord Jesus, this morning, we need you to not just appear to Magi. We need you to appear to us. God, we need you to come and stir in us a hunger for you that defines our journey from this day forward. Lord, we thank you for what you did for these Magi. Lord, come and do it again. Come and do what needs to be done. Come and reveal yourself in new and fresh ways in us, so that we can be the sons and the daughters of God that you're calling us to be. Make us willing, Lord. Make us open, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Y'all can be seated. So this morning, two important truths about these long ago magi. First, these magi, they were willing to see, they were willing to experience the gifts of God. Now, there were four grace gifts that were made available and given to the magi. The first grace gift given to the magi was a heavenly sign, an astrological sign, if you will. Matthew 2:2 says, "We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Now, there's been a ton of speculation about the nature of the star that the Magi saw and tracked and followed. We so-called modern people use different categories and labels than ancient cultures. The term star in the first century was applied to virtually any bright point of light in the night sky. So it's possible that the Magi could have seen a conjunction of planets or a supernova or a comet. The comet theory was the one I learned about when I was 9 years old at the Texas Tech Planetarium. Are they still doing that? Okay. Biblical scholar J.B. Lightfoot was of the opinion that what the Magi saw was the glory and light of the Lord, which shone about the shepherds when the angel brought them that good news of a great joy. Even though the heavenly glow was hundreds of miles away, it penetrated through the night as a powerful light in the middle of the darkness. Just like you can have an earthquake in the middle of the ocean, and then it comes to shore as this powerful tsunami. Here in Matthew 2, there is this night-shattering light that originates hundreds of miles away that is experienced as a powerful, life-transforming spiritual tsunami for the stargazing magi. Now, by the way, that's just all, right? That's just all possibilities. Those are just things that could have happened. I like the way Max Lucado talks about the star's appearance. He says, God uses the natural world to get our attention, right? God uses the natural world to get our attention. Earth and stars form the first missionary society. Psalm 19:1 says that the heavens declare the glory of God, that the skies proclaim the work of his hands. I don't know if you know it or not, but God is still communicating with us via his creation. Just look up. Just listen. Just open your eyes to the beauty and majesty and the power and the force of his creation. The question is not whether God is speaking. The question is, are we listening? The second grace gift given to the Magi was the Word of God. Matthew 2:6 gives us the clarifying prophecy from Micah the prophet, which was spoken 700 years before Jesus is even born. Matthew 2:6, look at it. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you're by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you," and it's a little town Bethlehem was, maybe 2,000, "for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." God led the Magi to Jerusalem with an astrological sign, but he chose his word. He chose his word to lead them to Jesus. So here's the word of God spoken clearly and concisely to Herod, to the scribes, the Pharisees, to all of Jerusalem, and to the Magi. What's obvious about what happens next is that there's this drastic and telling contrast between what Herod and all the people of Jerusalem did with God's word and what these Magi did. When the Magi heard the word of God, boom. I mean, they're out of there. They're headed to Bethlehem. When everybody else heard God's word, they stayed right where they were. What we clearly learn is that it's one thing to know God's word, and it's a whole other thing to follow it. It's one thing to hear God's word. It's another thing to obey it. It's one thing to know God's word. It's a whole other thing to know God. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 5. He said this, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. These are the scriptures that point you, guide you, direct you to me. And yet you refuse to come to me to have life." God's word is a God-given compass that points us to Jesus, aims us to Jesus. God's word doesn't save us, but it sure takes us true north to the one and only one who can save us. God's word is a compass that we are to live our lives by. But if we, like Herod, try to deny it, if we, like Herod, try to undermine or suppress it, if we, like Herod, try to make God's word fit our agenda, then that compass will become useless. And sooner rather than later, you and I will find ourselves being our own authority of our own lives rather than God and His word being primary in our lives. The only thing Herod wanted to do with the word of God was prove it to be untrue. He wanted to cancel its effect so that he himself could stay on the throne, right? He himself could stay the king, you know, of Judea, the king of himself. In 40 plus years of ministry, it has been my experience that most people don't have an intellectual struggle with God's word, but rather a personal struggle. The problem is not about what God's word actually says, but rather about who's going to sit on the throne in our own hearts. I mean, if God is king of our mountain, then we're ready to both hear and heed his voice. We're ready, if he's the king of the mountain, we're ready to both hear and heed his word. But if we are sitting on the king of our mountain, then God's word will be filtered and interpreted through our own wants and desires. Y'all, this morning, how's your compass? Is God's word pointing you to Jesus, inviting you to relationship with him, calling you to his purpose in this world? The third grace gift given to the Magi was specific revelation. Matthew 2, verse 9 and 10. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose now went before them until it came to rest over the place, over the house where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. Here in verse 9. Here in Bethlehem, God's guidance moves from the generic to the specific, from wide angle to close up, from a general area on a map to a specific address. We're not playing horseshoes and grenades anymore, you know, where being close is good enough. Now God is working and leading these Magi to an all-important face-to-face encounter with his one and only Son. Don't you doubt for a second. Don't you doubt for a second that God is still in the specific revelation business. Because he is. When I was 17, Andy, do you realize that all this stuff you're chasing is never going to fill you up? Tom, I can't save your marriage until you first let me save you. Janet, don't you know that your need for control is ultimately about your unwillingness to surrender yourself to me? Becky, everyone in your life has let you down, but Becky, I will never leave you or forsake you. I love you, Becky. Fred, you've known success in everything you've ever done. Your bank accounts are full, but your soul is empty. Y'all, I wonder what God might be saying specifically and intentionally, directly to you this morning. The fourth grace gift given to the Magi was that God gave himself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, for God so loved these Magi, for God so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but will receive eternal life. Y'all, God sent his Son to the Magi, to us. And in this story in Matthew chapter 2, it's clear that God gave not just his Son, but his Holy Spirit. He sent his Holy Spirit to the Magi in order that they would be awakened to his coming. They would be stirred to see all these things that they saw. And God also surely gave his Son, his one and only Son, to the Magi so they would be saved. These Magi, These pagan Gentiles from ancient Babylon, they're no longer outsiders looking in, but insiders, recipients of God's grace, who have now come to know and worship Jesus. Y'all remember Matthew ends his gospel that we, you know, we're to go and make disciples of all nations, of all peoples. And here in Matthew 2, Matthew begins his gospel by profoundly proclaiming that Jesus was not just a Jewish king, but a universal king of all kings. Jesus didn't just come to save a little people group in Palestine. He came to save the world. He came to save us. The truth is that these four gifts were visible to all kinds of people. But it was the Magi, they and they alone, who made the long journey. These gifts were accessible to no telling how many people, but it was the Magi, they and they alone, who were willing to take the risk of seeking Jesus. These gifts were available to countless others, but it was the Magi, they and they alone, who were willing to give themselves to the pursuit and encounter of Jesus. You see, y'all, it's not enough to just see the star. It's not enough to just hear the word. Or it's not enough to just know the truth about who Jesus is. There must be a response in us and from us that results in our lives never being the same again. So we also see about these Magi that they weren't just willing to see the gifts of God, they were willing to give themselves to God. The Magi gave themselves to God when they were open and receptive to Him. When they were in the east and saw the new star, they were open to the idea that God was doing a new thing. God was doing a great thing in their very world. I wonder if you were open and receptive and ready for God to do a new thing in you this Christmas. I mean, or are you toast? I mean, are you done? I mean, is there nothing else you want or need God to do in your life? Are you toast? Or are you receptive, open, like soft and moldable clay in the hands of the master potter? Is your heart hard or soft? Again, are you just done? You're just over it? Or are you letting Him shape and mold and make you more and more and more into the person He desires you to be? The Magi gave themselves to God when they were willing to seek Him and pursue Him. The Magi traveled over 400 miles to get to Bethlehem. A direct trip of 400 miles would have taken the Magi 2 to 3 weeks on camels, or at least a month's journey on foot. But if we assume that the Magi traveled by night to be guided by the star, this would mean that their journey would have taken even longer, up to 40 days. The point is, all this journey, all this required a great expense of resources, a great expense of time and manpower. When they get to Jerusalem, I love this part. When they get to Jerusalem, they risk their very lives by going to Herod, King Herod, with their questions about this newborn king of the Jews. I mean, Herod was a tyrant king, well known for his cruel atrocities. Here in Matthew, Herod will kill all the boy children who were 2 years old and younger in Bethlehem. Herod also had his own sons executed. Upon Herod's own death, he gave orders for the execution and slaughter of the leading men of Judea. He did this just to guarantee that the day he died, somewhere in Judea, somebody would be crying. He was crazy. So look again at verses 1 through 3 with that context about tyrant King Herod. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and they're asking Herod, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? They're asking the king of the Jews, who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. You know, when they get to Jerusalem, there's no doubt. There's no hesitancy. There's seemingly no fear. They just say, "Where's the newborn king? For we have come to worship him." Not you. Do they know who they're talking to? You see, it didn't matter, because they knew why they had come and whom they were seeking. When's the last time you were willing to pursue God with such passion and sacrifice? I mean, when's the last time, if ever, the Holy Spirit has moved in you to relentlessly and perseveringly go after Jesus, no matter what the cost, no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody thinks? Jeremiah 29:13. "You will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart." The Magi gave themselves to God when they were willing to give their tangible, valuable gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the infant Jesus. Now, I know the favorite preaching point about the gifts is their mystical and symbolic meaning, you know. I mean, preachers often tell that the gold stands for the Christ child's kingly status, or the frankincense is for his divinity, and the myrrh is for the anointing at his sacrificial death. Now, that may all be true, but I believe these gifts were practical, valuable, costly gifts that allowed for, provided for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus to survive as refugees down in Egypt. When's the last time you gave a tangible, costly, sacrificial gift to Jesus? I mean, when's the last time you extravagantly gifted Jesus because of his extravagant love for you? This week, a young couple had a new baby, came into my office. They really, to my knowledge, had never given to St. Luke's, maybe at all, if any. I don't even know that. But they gave me a $20,000 check that they wanted to be used to help the needy in our city. Y'all, I prayed for them. I pray for them, you know, they just say, "God, Lord, just love this family. Lord, let them know that you don't love them because of something they do or something they give. Let them know that you just love them. Lord, let them know that they can never outgive you, that, Lord, that you are the ultimate giver. Lord, let all of us, Lord, as we give to you, let us always do it out of love." Can you think about something besides money for a minute? When's the last time you gave a costly, tangible, sacrificial gift to Jesus? When's the last time you extravagantly gifted Jesus because of his extravagant love for you? Finally, this morning, we see that the Magi gave themselves to God as they gave their worship, as they gave themselves, as they gave their all to Jesus. Matthew 2:11. "On coming to the house," we're past the manger now, we're past the stable now, Jesus isn't just a baby now, he's a little boy. "On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down. And they worshiped Jesus." Somehow we've come to think that worship is all about some song we sing or some place we sit on some random Sunday morning. But y'all, true worship is about us bringing ourselves. It's about us giving ourselves to Jesus. Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of what Jesus has done for you to save you, to deliver you, to empower you, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." True worship is when we truly give ourselves all the way. We give ourselves to Jesus. I don't know what you're giving each other for Christmas, what you're giving kids or grandkids or husbands or wives or grandparents or parents, but I know what Jesus wants from you for Christmas. He just wants you. Just like you are, just as you are, He just wants you. It's in the great hymns of Christmas. In the bleak midwinter, the last verse. What can I give Him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would give a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. But what can I give Him? I give Him my heart. Y'all remember little drummer boy? Little baby, pa-rumpa-pum-pum. I am a poor boy too, pa-rumpa-pum-pum. I have no gift to bring that's fit to give our King, pa-rumpa-pum-pum. Shall I play for you, pa-rumpa-pum-pum? Mary nodded, pa-rumpa-pum-pum. The ox and lamb kept time, pa-rumpa-pum-pum. I played my drum for Him, pa-rumpa-pum-pum. I played my best for Him, pa-rumpa-pum-pum. Rumpa-pum-pum, rumpa-pum-pum. Then He smiled at me, pa-rumpa-pum-pum. Me and my drum. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. For He alone is worthy, for He alone is worthy, for He alone is worthy, Christ alone. The same God that was stirring and moving and working in those magi, opening their eyes and meeting them at their place of receptivity. That same God is moving and working and stirring in our hearts if we will but be willing to see Him, be willing to give ourselves to Him. Lord God, this morning, there are all kinds of people that missed it long ago, and there's all kinds of folks out there and even in here that are missing You. Lord, don't let us miss what You want to do and who You want to be in us and for us and through us. You did it long ago, Jesus. Come and do it again. Send Your Spirit to awaken us. Send Your Spirit to open our eyes to see You. Send Your Spirit to bring us face to face with You. This morning as we sing our closing hymn, it's just a question. Do you hear? Do you see? Do you know? The altar's open, y'all. Don't stay where you are. Don't miss this Christmas. Don't miss on Jesus being born anew and afresh in you. God, we thank You that that's who You are, that You are a God who brings us goodness and light, never for us to hoard or hog to ourselves, but for us to share with this world. Lord, I pray for literally from this congregation, hundreds of invitations to be made to worship You this Christmas. Lord, I pray for this congregation that we wouldn't just sing about what they saw or what they heard long ago. We will sing about what we are seeing, what we are hearing, and what we are doing by Your grace and the power of Your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.